If you have your Bibles, you could turn to probably one of the most familiar verses in the Bible, John 3:16. But in our video, I mentioned several times about how unloving their culture is. Hindus and Muslims, there's no love in their culture at all. Not in their homes. The Hindu religion is the religion of fear. They pray to millions of gods, hoping that the right one will be happy and they won't make one mad. And so there's no hope. They never know who there is or what's real. So they're always willing to listen when I go to tell them about another god. Because to them, it's, okay, maybe this is a god that'll listen to my prayers. When they don't understand the impact of what that really means. He's a god that will actually listen to their prayers. And I mentioned that in the end of the video about the man that, when I went to give him the gospel, said, I don't know if I believe in any god. His name was Kevin Castry. He had just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I told him, I don't know really what you're going through. I don't understand. My brother had a similar situation where he had been diagnosed stage 4 cancer. I said, he ended up getting healed. I can't promise you that if you believe in Jesus that he's going to heal you. But I told him something that he had never heard before. I said, I could tell you there's a God that loves you. And he was just shocked. He had no idea what that even meant, that a God would love him. So I was able to go back through, give him the gospel. And he was willing to turn from the millions of gods that had failed him and left him with no hope to a God that would say, I love you. And that's probably the biggest thing in the Trinity culture is I had to realize I'm used to America. We're... It's not like the Bible Belt in the South, but from California is the least church state in the nation. But in our town, we have probably 5 mega churches, a couple thousand each, or in our surrounding area. So we have it's a very Christian, churchy area. Now, most people in those churches are not saved. We regularly win Sunday school teachers or workers in those churches. We lead them to the Lord. So it's not like they're a good church, but they're familiar with the concept of God. And so I was always based off the concept of, all right, here's the Bible, here's how it explains heaven. And I got to Trinidad and realized they don't even know what the Bible is. They don't know what heaven is. And so I had to change my whole direction of witnessing from, can I tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven? Not just that you're hoping that you can know for sure, to let me tell you about a God that loves you. Because the Muslims, if they're hurting and they're not very devout, that's something that they're going to listen to. The Hindus, they're going to be shocked because that's not something they understand at all, and they're going to listen. So it's a very different way of witnessing. It's a very slow concept because the Hindu culture, everything in their life is built around their religion. So when I go and tell them that there's only one God, I'm telling them everyone in their family is a liar. And that everything they've ever been told is untrue. And so it's a very slow process. The missionary we're going to be working with has been there for 20 plus years. And he told me when I first got there, I was talking about how do I witness these people? And he says, you build a relationship. Because once you get a good relationship, you then have the opportunity to tell them about the gospel and tell them about Christ. Because if not, you're just going and telling them they're a liar and everyone in their family are liars. And it immediately shuts down to get defensive. So it's a slow process. Most people are not going to get saved the first time you witness to them. But because it's a small island, and you're going to be going to the same spots all the time, it's very easy to start building relationships because it's a very friendly party culture, which kind of the typical Caribbean island party culture that you might think of from movies or whatever, that is the culture of Trinidad. And so because of that, it really opens up a big door for the gospel. Because I don't have to win everyone I see the first time I see him. I just have to be the testimony and be able to build a relationship with them. The missionary we're going to be working with, I got shocked the first time I was there with him because 2 or 3 times a day he was going to a different coffee shop. I'm thinking, that's a lot of money to go spend on coffee. I like coffee, but I don't even go to coffee shops that often. But then once I started watching, I realized every time he was there, there's 2 or 3 people and the person behind the counter he was building relationship with. And that was just one way he used to get people in a church because of that relationship. So it's a foreign culture. and more so than I think a lot of countries, because it's a developing culture where they have air conditioning, they have cars, but they're still closer to a third world than a first world country like America. But it is, we're excited about going, and our goal was to get there on a survey trip right after we were married last spring. But because of COVID and the borders were still locked down, we haven't had a chance to go back. So we've decided we're going to get support, and as soon as we get the money, we're just going to get going and hopefully work things out to be able to get visas and everything, without a problem, to just get there and stay, not have to go back and forth a few times. But we're excited. God's been very good. We've only been traveling full-time for 2.5-3 months, and I could just spend the whole night talking about answered prayers. We have an incredible car, and this is just the one I'll do just for the sake of time. There's no way we could afford the car we have right now. We knew we didn't want to have the burden of any debt while we're starting on the road, so we thought, all right, here's how much money we've saved up. We're thinking, all right, what can we do? And when we got married, we could have gotten a car that had plenty of space, decent gas mileage, but with how the car market switched last year, it went to where there's no way we could afford anything even close to what we want. So we're praying. We're honestly praying God would just give us a car. Now, with my lack of faith, I didn't really believe. It was like, God, if we're praying for a few $1,000 extra, we could just pray for a $20,000 or $30,000 car. God answered our prayer in a way we did not expect. He gave us a 1994-98 Honda Accord with almost 300,000 miles on it. But at the same time, because of the car market, that was worth a couple $1,000s. He had another lady at the first church we presented our work at ask us, what can I pray for? And we told her, just a car. We're praying. We have money saved up. We're just trying to figure out one in our price range. What's the right one for us? She sent us a large check. And it was several things along the lines like that that got us to where we had more money than we should have, than we thought we'd had for a car. And then the car we got ended up being $13,000 under what the market value was at the time. On liquidation sale. And it was just all these things that God worked just right to give us this car. And that's just one small thing. But there's been so many things where, from the smallest things to things huge like the car, God's been taking care of us. It's been good. But if you look at John 3:16, probably everyone in this room could quote it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you so much for your blessing, your love, how good you've been to us in this church. Pray that you would guide my words and touch hearts and help this be a blessing to the church. Help us to challenge us to do more for you. Love you so much. Amen. So this verse, probably everyone in this room could quote it, John 3:16. And I don't remember how little I was when I first learned it. By the time I was 10, I'm sure I could quote it, but growing up in church, very familiar verse, heard it all the time. But once we got on the road, I started thinking about what this verse meant. Because it's something we throw around, really use it almost flippantly. And I started thinking, well, it's heaven, talking about eternal life, everlasting. So that's something, it's serious. And I started thinking, what is this? And I started looking at different spots where it talks about God's love. And I started realizing, I believe this verse is the perfect definition of God's love. What Christ-like love is. So I started thinking, okay, if this is what it might be, let's go back and use the Bible to give us the definition of love. So I went back. The first time love is used in the Bible is when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac. And it says, his son Isaac, whom he loved. The first time love is used is when someone was going to give the ultimate sacrifice. And I started thinking about how if we as Christians are supposed to love, if we are going to love the world, we're going to have to follow Christ's definition of love. I started looking. It says, for God so loved. It's right there. He loved. How did he love? He gave. I realized the definition of love is not a feeling. Like a lot of times we say it's an idea. It's how we feel. Love is an action. Love, in one form or the other, is giving. And that's the whole purpose of Christ coming to earth. He loved us, so he gave so much. He gave his life. He gave all his comfort in heaven. He gave time, and so much time, to a God who is not bound by time to step into time for 33 years and live on earth. Start thinking about how much he truly had to give. every single category you can think of, he gave. He suffered pain more than anyone else. He suffered just the humanity. When you've had perfect health and then there's something that goes wrong, it seems so much worse than if you're constantly fighting illness and illness because it's just another time you get sick. In Christ, he had perfection. He never felt pain. He never felt uncomfortable and come to a place where the whole world was uncomfortable. He never had even the small comforts, like we would call today, the what we think are the necessities, but really comforts, the air conditioning, the sounds. Start thinking about all the things he gave up for us, to show us his love. And arise, if we're going to say we love anything, we're giving something. I'll be honest, I love coffee. I probably drink too much coffee. I have, now I don't have it all on the road, but if I was going to drink hot coffee, I normally would rather make it myself. When we had our own spot, I had a coffee grinder. So I'd grind my own coffee every morning, and then I'd put it in a pour over. It's a weird hourglass looking thing. And then I'd have to boil the water and slowly pour. It'd take me 5 or 6 minutes of involved the whole time working on this coffee. Now I felt like it's a way better cup of coffee than McDonald's was going to give. But because I would say I love coffee, I took some extra time, some extra money to make it just how I like it. Now on the road, I'm doing a lot of cold brew. I have a pitcher of cold brew with the attachment to put the coffee in. 24 to 48 hours, I'll brew it cold to get the good coffee. Now, it's really good cold coffee, but it takes a lot of time, a lot of work. It takes space in our car where we pack it out as full as possible. And I figure out, all right, where can I fit coffee stuff in here? It's because I love coffee. I'm putting extra time. I'm putting extra money. I'll be honest, I'm a bit of a coffee snob. I had friends in college who worked at Starbucks and could get their top-of-the-line coffee. This would be $40 to $60 a pound coffee. Now, I would never spend that much money on it, but they could get it free, so I enjoyed drinking it. So I love this incredible coffee. And it's hard to go from that to Folgers. Now, if you like Folgers, good for you. Hopefully you never get more expensive taste. But I'm going to spend more money than Folgers on coffee because I love coffee. There's a little bit in every area where I'm investing more on coffee. Now, if you start thinking coffee is such a shallow thing, and it's an easy example, we all can think of something that we like, whether it's a soda, whether it's a donut, whether it's a sweet cat, whatever thing like that we might like, we put extra work and effort for it. Start thinking, I love my wife. I could say I love you to my wife all day long, but if I never do anything to show her my love, amen, it's not going to mean anything. I think everyone in this room would say, oh yeah, I love the world. I love God. I want to show the world his love. But the question is, if we truly love like Jesus loves, what are we doing? What are we giving to show the world that love? Now, my wife and God has called us to missionaries. He's asked us to give our lives, the comfort we have here in America, to go to another country. That's what God has asked us to do. If everyone in this room said God has called all of us to be missionaries to Trinidad, I would say, great, we probably could see a big change in that. But God's not done that. Some of you, because you could never leave the States to a third world country because of the medicine. There's all these reasons, but God doesn't have that for you. He's asked us, can you give your comfort, your lives, to leave what you love to go somewhere else? And God, that's what God's asked us to do. And now it's possible that God is working on someone's heart saying, are you supposed to go with the mission field? But you know what? God doesn't ask everyone to give that. Some people God asks, like, can you give some extra time Saturday to go put on some door hangers? Amen. I wonder how many people have been saved in our country, just because there's a tracker door hanger left. No one ever talked to him. I could think of people on staff at churches right now that were reached by our church because someone dropped a track in their hand at the grocery store. They were the cashier checking the person out. Someone just in passing, hey, I want to invite you to our church. That's all it was. They're now on staff at other churches. I know other people. They found a track when they were hedging their bushes. Whether they threw it away, whether it blew off the door, or whether someone got tired, didn't want to go all the way up the door and just threw it and it happened to fall in the bushes, they found it in the ground when they were cleaning out their bushes. And they came to church. They got saved. You know what that was? Someone had to take that track and go. Someone had to give a little bit of their time, an hour or two on a weekend. It's not that much. But you start looking, what impact could that have? Start thinking, there's a dear lady we know, almost very bad health, can make it church maybe every other week. She half the time she can't get that, and she'll go to church, but because of health and everything, she can't even hear most of what's going on. But she's going to be there whenever she can. But she prays 3 to 4 hours a day for missionaries, for churches, for people they've become close to, because she can't go to another country. She can't. She's in a wheelchair. She can't get out and go soul winning somewhere. But she could sit home and either watch TV or she could pray. And she is such a prayer warrior because she's figured out, this is one thing I could give. And she has lots of time. And she said, I'm going to give my time. And a lot of us are busy. We don't have time. But there's some, I'd say, probably that have a lot of extra time. Now, we could look and look at the news and get depressed because is there ever good news? We could go and I enjoyed reading growing up. We could be a reader, have this great library and read all the time. But what benefit is that giving to the world? If we could just give what time we have, spend a little more time in prayer. Maybe spend time writing letters to missionaries. Obviously, there's a lady that sent us the check for the car. Periodically, she'll respond to our prayer letters and she'll write back and just, it's encouragement. Yeah. And it's a blessing to hear, hey, I've been praying for you extra. I know there's so many people who pray for us. Yeah. When someone tells us and lets us know, whether it's a letter or email or texting, hey, I've been praying for you. Yeah. You know what that means a little bit extra? It says, it gives a little bit extra encouragement. Hey, we know this is doing. You know what they're doing? They're taking a little bit of time and saying, I'm going to help someone else. I'm going to do my part, the little part I can, to get the gospel to the whole world. Start thinking about time. One of the big things is money. Right now, we could be in Trinidad if we had all of our support. Now, just with how things are, God knows. He knows the people we need to meet, where churches we're going to be at. He knows the impact, if we're being on the road, that we're going to have on the youth. Blessing, I already heard of a camp I was at preaching at around Christmas time. One of the young people surrendered to the mission field. Amen. That would have never happened if we just went straight to Trinidad. But I don't know what God's plan is. But right now, all we're doing is trying to get the money. And there's people who God has blessed with giving. And that is their gift. I don't understand how they could give. So it may not mean you're rich, but it means you're going to use everything you can to help get the message out. Because this church, Brother Frank's talked to me about how incredible the giving has been, how many missionary support and how you've been trying to have impact different spots. That is a gift. That's a way, in the most literal sense, your giving is showing your love around the world. Because there's people getting saved in the South Pacific. There's people getting saved in Canada. There's people getting saved in South America. All over the globe because you are giving. Amen. And you're showing your love to the whole world. But if we say, I love the world, and we do nothing, if there's never that action, if there's nothing of our own that we give, it's empty words. My wife likes gifts. She likes me spending time and doing things for her. And it's hard because I'm not a gift person. My thought with gifts is pure utility. Okay, is this useful? Is this something I think I have a reason to need? And we're so different. And I tell her, you need to let me know what I... Because I think, okay, what do you need? She's thinking, oh, this would be nice. And she looks at me and some things I think I have a reason to need. She says, you don't need that. But I can think of a reason. But because of the difference, I need to not just tell her I love her. Because those are empty words. If I never try to figure out what I can do to help her, what I can do to give to her, and it takes a lot. And I think loving the world is almost more important. Not more important, but it's a more forgotten part. than our family relationships, our spouse. We can think, oh yeah, I love family, I love the church, I love everything here. But often we forget about what our love and what showing our love to others can have an impact one day. I mentioned that man who got saved. I could have given the tract and said, I don't know if I could believe in any God. I could have listened like, well, if he doesn't believe in any of his gods, he's not going to believe in mine. I could have walked away. But because I could tell he was hurting, I just asked, how are you doing? I could tell you're hurting. I saw he was hurting, and I thought, all I can do is listen. You know what? There's probably people around here right now hurting. There's people, whether it's health problems, whether it's family issues, whether connected to other tragedies, there's people who are hurting every day. And you may think, oh, they're a jerk, they're being rude, they're being mean, but it might just be they're hurting. And they need someone to say, how are you doing? And it'll open up an opportunity for you to go and give them the gospel. Introduce them to a God that loves them. Used to be this nation, everyone called it a Christian nation. Everyone went to church. Businesses were shut down on Sundays. Now, yes, it's probably one of the more Christian nations in the world, but very pagan. The fastest growing religion is atheism. People who don't believe in God. There's kids riding our buses to church back home that don't even know who Jesus is. They've never heard about Jesus. And getting closer and closer, like where I'm going, Trinidad, there's people who don't know that there's a God that loves them. They wonder, what's the purpose of my life? Why am I even here? Depression and different psychiatric medical needs. It's one of the fastest growing health issues in our country. But it all comes down to there's no love. They don't understand what God has for them. And we can start showing the world our love. We can start showing the world the love of Christ and how incredible he could change lives and make an impact. If we just realize, I'm supposed to love the world. And that means there's something I have to give. And that what everyone in this room has something. It's different. I give to missions. And God has asked me to give more than I thought I could. Right when we started on the road, we had no support coming in at the time. We had just started out. First three missions conferences, God worked on, you need to give a little bit more. Like, God, I'm already giving to missions. I didn't stop giving. Like, you. And honestly, it was more than I thought we could. And finally, I said, okay, God, we're just going to have to trust you. I'm just going to give what you want me to give. But right now, it's more than our support. So you need to provide for us because I'm giving more than we have coming in. Just the missions. You know what happened? It was right after that all the things came in so we could buy our car. It was after that we started getting more support coming in. That we had some extra large love offerings from those churches. Maybe God has something extra he's asking you to give. Maybe you realize, I have a lot of time. Maybe you have some talents. Maybe you're able to sing. Maybe you think, I don't know if I could do anything, but I can show up at church and clean. Someone had to take time to straighten the rows, to vacuum. You know what? Maybe the person who's doing it right now has the ability to go out soul winning more if someone else would help clean. Just thinking, there's something you can do, what can you allow other people to do if you start helping in that area? Maybe God wants you to come and volunteer at the church. And that's the best kind of employee, volunteer. They're free. Maybe God wants you to start praying a little extra. Doesn't take a lot. Maybe say, I'm going to start taking extra 5 minutes a day to pray for one of our missionaries. You know the impact that spending 5 minutes praying for a missionary might have? What answered prayer he might get because of you? Whether it's your time, whether it's God has given you more where you could start giving, maybe God's asking you to give yourself. Maybe it's your pride to come up here and sing, play an instrument. Maybe it's teaching Sunday school. Amen. Whatever it is, I guarantee God has something right now that you can give. I don't know what it is. Probably no one else around here knows what it is. But I believe if you truly would say, God, what do you want me to give? Maybe you're really giving everything you can right now. And you're saying, I'm doing as much as I possibly can for God. Great, keep it up. maybe there's something God's saying, will you give a little bit more? Time, money, talents, whatever it is. Will you just say, God, I want to show the world my love. I want to have an impact on eternity. And I could do it by giving this one thing extra. Pray, would you just say, God, what do you want me to give? And I believe if you truly ask him, he'll let you know. Because there's something every single one of us have to show our love. So we can love the world like Christ loved the world. For God so loved the world, he gave. Let's pray. Lord, thanks much for this church. Thanks much for this message of your love and how much you gave for us. I pray that you touch hearts. That you'd move and have there be something that every single one of us can give a little bit more of. Something we could do to show the world your love. Now this church can increase their giving so where their impact can be worldwide more than it's ever been before. Pray that you'd touch hearts and use them. Help us remember that we want to love the world like you did. For God so loved the world, he gave. Help us to give. In Jesus' name, amen.